Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. This morning we're continuing our sermon series on looking at the promises that we make, what it means for us to be a followers of Jesus Christ who joined together in a community of faith. And so today we're going to be revisiting one of the basic promises that we make as a follower of Jesus Christ whenever we choose to join or become a part of a community of faith. In the United Methodist Church, and many churches have similar words that they use, but in the United Methodist Church, when we join or when we profess our faith, we're invited to support the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our witness, and our service. Now, other churches, other denominations, I'm sure have very similar phrases that they use about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and choosing to affiliate or associate oneself with the Christian community. Because as we're going to talk about today, God created us to be in community with one another. And so last week when we talked about what it means to pray, we talked about what it meant for us to be a part of a community of faith when we pray, what benefits we receive, and what it means for us to be a people who pray together. So this morning I'd like to begin by inviting you to consider this. What does it mean for us to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to be faithful with our presence? As you think about that, and as I was working on the sermon this week, I want to say that first, it's very easy for me to just say, you got to be in church, you know, and then the drummer goes, boom, and we're done. But I think what we're going to learn today, and I think from what we read in the Christian scriptures, is that God calls us to do and to be present in different ways, and in more ways than just attending worship. Worship is important. Worship is the very bedrock by which we gather together as a people of faith to share in our heritage, to share in this Christian faith, to share in expressing ourselves to God and reading His scriptures and doing all of these other things. But this morning, I would like for us to enlarge our consideration of what it means to be a person who faithfully serves God through our presence by adding to our worship, our other areas of the church, and then also when we choose to live our lives outside of this place, of this building, and of the classrooms in this church and of everything else that's on this spot. Our presence, then, is the way that we choose to live and to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in our worship, but in all aspects of our lives. So this morning I want to begin by reading with you the scripture that comes today from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul writes this, "From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, to promote the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm grateful to God whom I serve with a good conscience as my ancestors did. I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I can be filled with happiness. I'm reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I'm sure that this faith is also inside you. Because of this, I'm reminding you to revive God's gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, His prisoner. Instead, share the suffering for the good news depending on God's power. God is the one who saved and called us with a holy calling. This wasn't based on what we have done, but it was based on His own purpose and grace that He gave us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now His grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death and brought life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. I was appointed a messenger, apostle, and teacher of this good news. This is also why I'm suffering the way I do, but I'm not ashamed. I know the one in whom I've placed my trust. I'm convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what He has placed in my trust until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in us." This morning we read a scripture that is written by the Apostle Paul, And he's writing to one of his follow believers, to a young man that was almost an apprentice of the faith or a journeyer of the faith, someone who followed Paul. And the young man's name was Timothy. Paul wrote 2 Timothy as part of three pastoral letters that he wrote to Timothy, Timothy 1 and 2, and then also another younger follower of Jesus who was a young man named Titus. Paul wrote these letters, we believe, roughly 66 to 67 AD, so later in his ministry and in his life. And what we believe and what we think and what we're pretty sure is that Paul wrote these letters during a time in which he was in jail for the second time in Rome. And so Paul, this is the time that Paul went to jail, and he was in chains and he was in shackles, and he wasn't ever getting out of this time, because later he was put to death. And so Paul's writing these letters at a time in which he's in chains, and I'm sure he is likely anticipating his death. And so he is writing Timothy, he's writing Titus to encourage them and to instruct them on what it means to live in community with other Christians. What it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What it means to be someone who doesn't just live the faith on their own, but someone who chooses to interact and to join with other followers and with other believers to do great things for the glory of God and for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes this and he says, even while he's not physically present with Timothy, he's writing him what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be a leader of the church, what it means to be a follower of God, even without being physically present. Paul reminds Timothy of the faith that he has been given because he was present with other believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, I know the faith of your grandmother Lois that has been passed down to you. I know the faith and the witness of your mother, Eunice, that has been given to you, and I am sure that you have this same faith in yourself. See, Paul wanted Timothy to see that he was exposed to the Christian faith and the Christian life because of the faithfulness of his mother and his grandmother and his being part of the Christian community. Their presence, their living in community, and their choice to live out their faith with others put him in a place where Timothy was able to encounter the risen Christ for himself, and he was able to make the choice to receive the salvation that is offered by God through Jesus Christ. And so while Paul says, it's your gift to receive, it's God's gift given to you, it's yours to discover and claim for yourself and choose to live out, Paul wants Timothy to see that part of the reason he was able to encounter Jesus was because of the faith of his family. He was put into a position of where he was able to make this choice for himself. Because of his mother, because of his grandmother, because of other people who chose to be faithful in their presence, in the way that they joined with one another, and in the way that they chose to live out their life as followers of Jesus Christ. It's because of the fellowship of believers. And so Paul wants Timothy to see how others around him were choosing to live out their faith, and of how they were choosing to commit themselves to Christ, rubbed off on him. And of how he took from that and chose to be a follower of Jesus himself. And so if you think about it, when we talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, who chooses to live and to respond to God's grace by our presence, our presence in some way, even as John Wesley said, is a means by which we experience the grace of God. And so when we choose to be present, when we choose to be in fellowship with others, we choose to place ourselves in relationship with others, because what God shows us and what we see in the Scriptures and what we know within ourselves is that when it comes to life, we can't just do it on our own. We can try to do it on our own. But I know most of us, maybe all of us, I won't say it for everybody, but I know if I try and do things on my own, they're usually not nearly as good or as successful. Or maybe they don't even get finished. But when I join with other people who choose to be present, who I'm choosing to be in relationship with, things get done. And so we have to realize, we have to seek out the opportunities to join with others. Because presence and being with others is so important. When we're present with other Christians, whether that's in worship or Bible study or prayer or other places where we gather together, we experience true fellowship. Because God created us to be together. Being present is the way that we choose to live life out in this community that God has put us. It's believing and realizing that wherever we are, we can choose to be in service to God and that God has placed us in different places and situations for that place and for those people that we are encountering. See, we're present in the way we choose to live out there, not just exclusively in here. And so the model that God created is a model that God shows us that He wants us to be in relationship with other people. If we look in the Bible, there are many biblical models of faith. There are many biblical models of people who God has placed with one another in relationship to live out this Christian community of faith and of live out what it means to be a person living in response to God and what it means to be joining together. They're not individuals who choose to withdraw from their community and go out and do things on their own. And so in the Old Testament, I mean, there's just numerous of them, and I have some written down, and more are coming in my head as I'm thinking about this. But in the Old Testament, you know, there's stories of God's intentional plan with Adam and Eve, relationship with God and with each other. In the book of Genesis, God went to Abraham and said, I'm going to make of you a people, and I'm going to use you as a people and your descendants to bless the world and to bless others. When we look at Moses, when God picked Moses in the book of Exodus and told him, I need you to go and be present to the Pharaoh and be present to the people of Israel as they are crying out to be in slavery, God didn't send Moses by himself, but He said, I'm going to give you Aaron, who's going to help you, who's going to talk to you, because we are created to do and to live this faith together. And part of that means being present with one another. Even in the Gospels, if there's anyone in the Scriptures that should have been able and did everything on their own, I would say it would be Jesus, wouldn't you? But what did Jesus do? Jesus pulled a group of people together to support Him, to be there with Him, to learn from Him, to fellowship with Him, and to do everything else. Because God creates us to live out this Christian faith in relationship with other people. And so Jesus went to the disciples, to these men that were no names, men that no one knew of until they became followers of this man, and now we remember them thousands of years later. In Matthew 4, Jesus goes and He calls Peter and Andrew and James and John from the shores of the Sea of Galilee, where they were sitting there fixing the nets of their fishing boats. He said, come, follow Me. Because He knew that He couldn't do this on His own. He needed people to join Him and to be present with Him. Later in the book of John, John chapter 1, there's another call of Jesus' disciples. Jesus encounters John the Baptist. And two of the disciples of John the Baptist see Jesus and they hear the words where it says, this is the Messiah, not Me, that John says. And so John 1 says that two of John the Baptist's disciples left John at that point, and they went and began to follow Jesus Christ. See, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 40 and 41, it says, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, had begun following Jesus, and he went to find his own brother, Simon Peter, and he told him, we found the Messiah. And John writes that Simon Peter began following Jesus from that day forward. See, these men became the first Christian community. They were the ones who listened to Jesus' teachings, who witnessed the miracles, who after the ascension of Jesus Christ, became the first Christian church. It was these 12 that became kind of the foundation, if you will. For what we are part of today is other men and other women became followers of Jesus and traveled with Him and listened to His messages. Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Nathanael that we read about in John chapter 3. There are all of these people that became a part of the community of faith because God creates us to be present and to be in presence with one another. It's an essential part of who we are and of how we choose to live. And so the 12 disciples, after Jesus ascended, we read the book of Acts, which is full of examples of how the early Christian church chose to live and to witness and to carry on and to follow this message that God had given them. And in Acts chapter 2, it says that the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. See, what they realized is after Jesus had gone from them is that Jesus had built them to be this community of faith, to be this people that joined together, and not to disband after He was gone for them, but for them to come together and to do the things that He had taught them and to practice the acts that He had shared with them and to invite others to be a part of that. Which is why in Acts chapter 2, right after the Pentecost story, right after the giving of the Holy Spirit, we read that the early church did what the apostles told them Jesus had told them to do, and they had begun following and being and practicing community in presence with one another. We can even go to our good friend John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who saw that fellowship with other Christians is meant being present with other Christians. You know, in the time of Wesley, the Anglican Church at that time meant going to worship on Sunday morning and then going home. And so people's lives weren't being changed. And Wesley was an Anglican priest, and so he would go and worship and deliver messages and see that people just weren't being changed. Their lives weren't being changed. And so his plan was to change the church from within. Which didn't really work the way he planned. But he definitely showed people of what it meant to be in community. And so his plan initially is people were to go to worship in the Anglican church in their community and to receive communion and to practice the sacraments and celebrate baptism and marriage and funerals and everything else. And then he tried to create a second group, where people would gather together each week and they would hear the word proclaimed, and then they would meet in small groups and talk about what they had heard and talk about how God was working in their lives, and they would ask questions of each other, how is it with your soul? And they didn't just stop, I think, when people said, well, I'm all right. They said, well, what do you mean, how is it really with your soul? Because what Wesley saw is that we are created and we cannot practice the Christian faith on our own, but we have to be in relationship with other people. He saw when we truly practice presence with others, that we experience peace and joy and love and a zeal for every work that we share and participate in. See, true fellowship happens when you and I are truly present. And that's evident by our spiritual life, by our energy, by what we share in as followers of Jesus Christ. And so Wesley said this. He saw that our being present with one another was a way that we might watch over one another in love. Because being present means being part of a transformation. It means being part of a community of faith who's transformed as followers of Jesus Christ. Being present means that we allow the grace of God and the work of Jesus Christ in our lives to be evident in all aspects of our life. so that we are prepared, so that we are in tune with God's Spirit for the different situations that we find ourselves in, for the different people that God places us in their path, for the opportunity that we have to offer grace in the way that we live and in the way that we respond to things that are out of our control. If we truly want to live out the call of Jesus to love God and to love our neighbor, we do that best when we are with others. We do that best when we love our neighbor and we love God in turn. We do that best when we serve others in community with others. For we know that when we serve others, we are serving God. Embracing the Christian life means that you and I are present, both in the community of faith with other believers, but also in the ways that we see that God places us in the world, so that we might serve, so that we might live, so that we might minister, and so that we might be the gift of grace in others' lives that they need. When we don't know what's going on in their life, but God calls us and places us in their path to offer them hope and to offer them whatever they need. And so may we take full advantage of the places that God puts us. May we be present, and may we join together to do and to be His people. Amen.